they want to see coming in to the Bernabeu. A man who's going to tell us about all things going in and out of the Bernabeu and the Camp Nou and everything else about Spanish football in general. He's a very good friend of the show, and a man who is currently, from the sounds of it at least, sat by a pool sunbathing in sunny Spain. I hope he's in the thick of everything that's going on in the Spanish transfer news at the moment, because it's making waves all across Europe. It is one of our favourite guests to have on the show, Mr. Joseph Sexton, joining us on the line. Joseph, how are you doing today, mate? Enjoying the summer off, or are you...
That's one of the best welcomes I've ever had. I'm actually standing out in the sun because the sun is too hot. But I'm telling you, the transfer market is hot, and I'm well inside that.
Up to your waist in transfer news, we hope, as well as swimming pool water, Joseph. Let's kick off with what took place yesterday. And that shock move was meant to be lined up for Tottenham, potentially Manchester United in a deal with Thiago for Wayne Rooney. But David Villa opting and Barcelona allowing him to go to Atletico Madrid. Why have Barca allowed Villa to go to Atletico when there were other suitors willing to pay more money in foreign nations?
That's a $1 million question. It's one of the most bizarre transfers I've ever seen in my life, and including that, the transfer of Gerard Pique back to Barcelona from Manchester United. I mean, at least we can say about Pique that, like, he had not established himself, but with David Villa, what can you say about this man? He's Spain's record goal scorer. It's really hard to get your head around, but the figure has been quoted in the Spanish press. I mean, a total of €5.1 million, when a figure was quoted just last week of closer to £12 million for Tottenham. And what's interesting is the stipulations in the contract, in the deal. They say that, it's going to be $2.1 million for this season, okay, and the same for next season, and you know, it's not pay as you play, but it's down to what he does on the field. So basically, you know, the total fee is $5.1 million, but it could be a lot less than $5.1 million, and that's the bizarre side of it.
That's a huge loss, considering they paid €40 million for David Villa 3 years ago. Now, and they've obviously missed a majority of a season with him a year ago, obviously when he broke his leg, and he's played a bit part this year. Do you think Barca have had enough out of David Villa to warrant such a low move and taking such a hit in the transfer market on his move?
No, of course not, but it's extremely unfortunate the way the situation has worked out with David Villa. It's unfortunate because of the injury, that injury against Santos in the World Cup final, in the semi-final actually of that competition. That was very unfortunate because he was hitting form at that moment. But the thing is that Barcelona have a real struggle with integrating forwards into their system. We've seen that they can write off a lot of money, you know. We've seen it with defenders. We've seen it with the likes of Martin Cáceres, the Uruguayan, who went for, I think, about $16 million, and ends up at Juventus for next to nothing after spending a season unknown there too. And, you know, Chiglinski, the Ukrainian, they paid £25 million, I believe, and sold him for £15 million. They have this great difficulty in finding players who can fit into their system. And I guess they thought that Dalvia was a player who could fit into their system. And we have to be honest, he did fit into their system. But after he got that injury, he was never the same player. He never had the same burst of pace, the same acceleration. What a fantastic player Atletico de Madrid are getting for €5 million. I mean, it's scandalous, this price.
It's an absolute bargain. With as I said, the suitors available in England, how much of this do you think have Barca been strong-armed into this decision by Villa himself not wanting to go to England?
Well, we know that Villa wants to leave. We know that Villa's not going to get enough games. We know that much. And, you know, then it's a classic case of, do you really want to keep a player who doesn't want to be there? I mean, when they bought the player, they wanted him. He was part of the starting 11. And we all remember the Champions League final of 2011. We all remember that season, the goal against Real Madrid. The way he was able... He was so versatile. I mean, it almost pains me that I'm talking about Villa like Like, I'm talking about the past tense, like something in the distant past. It's not the distant past. It's only 3 years ago, but we remember that, like, Villa was this, you know, he could play the center forward. I always remember this so well. Having this conversation constantly when I lived in Barcelona back about 4 years ago, who's better, Fernando Torres or Villa? And the conversation always concluded that Villa was a better player because he could play wide, he could cut in, he's a great free kick taker, he's a great corner kick taker, and for a man so short, he's a great header of the ball. Whereas Torres was always seen in Spain, even at his best, as a quite static player. I wouldn't say an English number nine, but you get the idea, okay?
Mm.
Something like that, pardon, something like that, and you know, Villa had a bit of everything, and for that reason, when he was fully fit, he worked so well at Barca, but, you know, it's just gone wrong for him, unfortunately, since the injury, and, you know, now we're in the situation where we are, and I think that Atletico have got the deal of the century, basically, in getting Villa for $5 million.
Talking of the Catalan giants and players leaving, obviously we had the rumours in the mill around Thiago and this move to Manchester United and a reduced move at that because of the lack of playing time he received, meaning that his minimum transfer release was down to around, I think it was 15 million was reported in the British press. But Joseph, what about this Thiago move? Because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for it to be finalised, for it to be confirmed, and it's still not happened yet. Is this going to happen or not?
Oh, God, I almost answered you in Spanish, but the answer is, it's, you know, we have to wait and see. The thing is that 2 years ago, we were in the exact same situation. It wasn't reported so well, but we had the exact same situation where he wasn't getting played enough, and he had the option to leave for X. X could have been, I think, about €10 million at around that time, but, you know, the amount isn't important. It was affordable for Manchester United. Manchester United were interested. Now, his value has gone up, but the situation remains the same. He's not getting enough games. And I have to tie this back into the Cesc Fabregas transfer. It's to do with the way Barca are kind of running their academy and, you know, buying back players, all this sort of thing. But the thing is, it's his age. His age is the crucial point here. When you look at the age profile of this Barcelona team, you look at the age of all the midfielders, Busquets is obviously a different beast, but Xavi, Iniesta, Fabregas, and Thiago. There's a two-year gap between every single one of those players. Every single one of those players theoretically could replace the other. By running their game or not, you know, the idea is that they're there, they're coming through the system, and this will be a huge blow to Barcelona, but he did sign that new contract 2 years ago after Euro 2011, and he has not played enough games. And you know, we could go on about we could go on about Spain and the way they played at the Confederations, but I'm guessing we're not going to go there. But there is a situation where a player like Thiago should have, if he was available, gotten the game time. It's the same thing with Barcelona. They overplay Xavi and Iniesta, and then you get a guy like Thiago who feels like he's underappreciated. It's not that they don't appreciate him, but the fact that he doesn't get enough game time, he feels underappreciated. He feels like he can be starting at a team now. He feels like Cesc Fabregas felt when he was 16, when he said, you know what, I can start for Arsenal now. I'm not going to wait around.
Mm.
And, you know, they came back and they paid 30 whatever it was, million euros from afterwards. But I think this situation, I think it's going to go ahead purely because he's not getting enough game time. And I think for the next year that's coming, it's logical if you're Tito Villanova that you're going to stick with Xavi. But to lose a player like Thiago, it's a pity.
If they do lose Thiago, and of course they've lost David Villa already, Barca do need to do some purchasing of some sort. We've heard these rumours coming out of David Luiz and an offer being made for him, but in the attack there's still going to have to be some players brought in, do you think? And if so, who's going to be joining Barca this summer?
Well, you've got the number one target already, which is Neymar. And, you know, we all, I suppose, we all doubted to an extent what Neymar could do. in a real pressurized setting, in I suppose a European setting against European defenses. And you know, all of us who fell like that, we all look like idiots now, don't we? After seeing what he did for Brazil in the Confederations. This guy is the real deal. He's not Robinho. He might not be Pele, but maybe, you know, he could be. But he's a fantastic player. They're concerned about that area of the field because the Alexis Sanchez thing, it hasn't worked out. They felt like, again, when they bought Cesc Fabregas, that this was a Barca-ready player. And you know what? You can be a very, very good player. You can be Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That doesn't mean that you're ready to play for Barcelona. That's not a criticism of Zlatan or Barcelona. It's just a functionality issue. It happens. Now, when it comes to the defence, they have a big issue with Carles Puyol, because we all know that he's getting old, and we've seen you didn't have to see the Confederations Cup final to see where Gerard Piqué can struggle at times when he doesn't have the hard man beside him. And it's an issue, and I suppose it's one that's amusing for English listeners, because there's this conception of David Luiz as being a bit of a, how would you say, a bit of a loose cannon in England. There was the conception that he would perhaps play as Luis Gustavo played for Brazil in the Confederations Cup. Like, he would be the man from the midfield who would drop into the defence. But I can tell you that Barcelona would love to have a defender like him. They're also looking at Thiago Silva, but Thiago Silva is a man that they should have bought a long time ago. And they feel very similarly about Javi Martinez at Bayern, even though he has had an exceptional season as a midfielder at Bayern. They know that he can play at centre-back, but he can pass the ball so well. Sometimes I wonder, with Barca, do they obsess so much about central defenders who possess the technical attributes of central midfielders? We see with Mascherano. And sometimes you kind of wonder, would they be better off buying, you know, let's say someone like Nemanja Vidic would be a good example. A younger Nemanja Vidic, a defender who knows how to defend, who does all the dirty stuff well, and yeah, can maybe knock the ball around a bit well, but primarily can defend. And this is an issue that I think it continues to persist with Barca's recruitment policy. It's a major, major issue for them.
It's all going off at Barca, obviously, this summer. Very busy indeed. But I want to talk about Los Blancos quickly as well, Joseph, whilst we've got you on the line, because there's been a lot of changes at Madrid. Obviously, there's going to be a completely new feel to this club under Carlo Ancelotti. And a surprising maybe move with Real Madrid looking to Real Sociedad to help solve their midfield problem. What can you tell us about I'm going to struggle with this name here, as I always do.
Is his name Basque?
Joseph, I'll let you see.
In that case, you're entitled to struggle with the name. I struggle with the names too. Ila Mendy, no?
Ila Mendy, thank you. Thank you, Joseph.
Ila Mendy, he's a fantastic player. Thing is, I don't see clearly that he's something that Real are missing in the midfield. What interests me about this Real side at the moment is that they have a void of midfielders. I mean, my God, they have Modric, they have Alonso, they have Carrera. They've sold Diarra to Angie, but they have a lot of these capabilities in the middle of the field. But it's curious that they should go for Ilar Mendy, but it's part of this process of them. They feel that they haven't gone for the Spanish players for a long time. So you see, Isco has gone, for example, and I can only think it's the same case with Ilar Mendy. I mean, he's an excellent player. You can imagine he could fit in, but then you think Alonso doesn't play. You think perhaps even Sami Khedira doesn't play, and which is not a bad thing, by the way, but they bought Nuri Sahin for that exact same reason 2 seasons ago. Someone who could play both roles, basically. And Nuri Sahin disappeared off the face of the earth. He ended up at Liverpool. Ended up not getting a game at Liverpool. He went back to Borussia Dortmund and never quite managed to fit into that same side. I see today that with Ilar Mendy, Sociedad Real Sociedad, his club, are trying to raise his bail clause to $42 million. I think that's basically an action to discourage Real Madrid from making a further bid. And if they're successful in upping his contract, you know, I see the option disappearing because, I mean, with all due respect to Mendy, as good as he is not a 42 million euro player.
So they've brought in Isco, as you say, and that changes this midfield slightly, this midfield setup. Where do Madrid need to go next in this transfer market? Because potentially, even though no bid's been launched officially by Arsenal, Higuain could be off. Do they need to go look for another striker next, or do they need to look at that back line that caused so many problems, and they struggled at set pieces a lot last season as well?
I wonder. You have to think about what Carlo Ancelotti wants, because you have a team that is almost perfect. You know, it's where do you improve it, and what does Ancelotti actually want to do? I suppose you could say they could strengthen the left back area, but the thing is, then that you have Marcelo, who, if some of us told him before, has proven himself as an outstanding attacking left back in the Confederations Cup. You also have Fabio Quintrao. Quintrao is a curious case because, you know, people who know a lot more about Portuguese football than we do will tell you that he was a winger to start off with. He was very much a winger who was trained as a fullback, but Mourinho preferred him as the more defensive-minded player in games like the Bayern tie last season and, you know, again this season against Dortmund, which didn't work out so well, let's say. But not for his own fault. But you wonder, what does Ancelotti want to do? And I think, I mean, it's my own opinion. As a team, I love Napoli, but I've seen this man's rise. I think, how can you improve this Real team? You have the best goals, one of the best goal scorers in the world already in Cristiano Ronaldo. Mm. You have outstanding passers in the middle. Unless you want to change that team into Barcelona and change the profile of the midfield, the only improvement you can logically make is to sign someone like Falcao, who's already gone, or someone who I consider better than Falcao, which might be controversial, but hey, I believe it. Edinson Cavani.
Wow.
I believe it's the best centre forward in the world. But from what I'm reading, from what I'm seeing recently, it seems, and I think this will be a great tragedy, it seems like he's destined for PSG.
Yeah, apparently it's hours away, that move, Jason. The move of Cavani to PSG, just a few hours away. With that being taken off the market, does this heighten Madrid's attempts to lure some other attacker? We heard like Luis Suarez, for instance. They were very interested.
You really wonder because you think that is not an area of the team that really, really needs strengthening. But of course, if the best player in the world in this particular position becomes available and you can buy him, well, you got to buy him, haven't you?
Mm.
Luis Suarez isn't quite that, but I mean, who wouldn't want Luis Suarez? I'm a Manchester United fan and I'm saying I wouldn't mind Luis Suarez on my team as a footballer. He is amazing. But what Cavani could offer Madrid, I mean, his ability to play with his back to goal, his connection with the play, his overall level of intelligence, and I'm not saying Suarez isn't intelligent, quite the opposite. Cavani is the only player that I could think of that would improve this Real. Suarez, on the other side. Suarez, I mean, they already have Benzema, they already have Higuain. These guys can score goals, they have different attributes, they're physical, they're intelligent. They have all of that. But yes, I think it's quite possible that Suarez could really improve that team. You know, he can play this, I suppose, you know, it's very trendy to talk of false nines, you know. But he can play a variety of roles across the front line. I just wonder, is he that much of an upgrade on what they have already compared to what a Cavani or a Falcao, who is already gone, could offer a team like Real Madrid? I'm not convinced.
Would it be advisable, Joseph? Because Suarez obviously brings, or has at his last two clubs at least, brought a lot of controversy with his biting at Ajax and, of course, at Liverpool and the racism scandal as well that shocked the Premier League a year or so ago. With that in mind, and you've just got rid of Jose Mourinho, a very controversial character indeed, would bringing somebody like Suarez be smart at this point as Madrid try to settle things down after the last 3 years of being under Jose's reign?
I don't think the character is such an issue, and I'm a bit of a curious one. As I've said, I've admitted my sympathies in terms of English teams earlier. I also kind of... I would not excuse a lot of Suarez's behaviour, but I do understand like the whole dynamic, what it's like to be Uruguayan or an Argentinian, but in his case, especially what it's like to be Uruguayan and what that means and what winning means to someone like him. With Real, I suppose they've presented Ancelotti as the peacemaker. That is the headline they've used in the Spanish press. The peacemaker. They present the contrast between him and Mourinho, and I suppose that would preclude someone like Suarez coming in. But then again, I would say that I'm not convinced as much as some sectors of the English press would be that Suarez is the total bad apple that they would always believe. I think, and I don't want to defend him because I really dislike some of what's happened with him, but I genuinely do think something has been lost in translation. I mean, there's things in his version of Spanish that if I said you know on the radio, you'd cut me off immediately, okay? But if I said it in that version of Spanish, if I said it in Spanish here, they would cut me off on the radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I said it to a fellow person from Montevideo, we wouldn't even think twice about it. It would be like saying, well, no, I'm not going to go there. But you know what I'm trying to say. I don't think he is necessarily that controversial a character, but then he has bitten two people, so...
I was going to say...
Well, I'm kind of more interested in that than, you know, the thing with Evra, to be honest. The Evra thing, I could possibly give him a pass on that, because I know what Evra is supposed to have said back to him. And it's not a pleasant thing, but in that version of Spanish, it's not so weird. But punching people on the arms, that's you have to ask child psychologists about these issues, and they will tell you that that is the mark of a very strange person.
It's definitely one that not many of us expected to see on a football pitch, that's for sure. Although
no, we don't.
Although...
We don't. If they're 5 years old and they're doing that twice, we start to worry. Apparently, according to child psychologists, he's a grown man. I'm more worried about that than the everything.
Well, either way, I'm sure Madrid fans would still be pleased to see somebody of Suarez's talent turning up at the Bernabeu. Joseph, it's been an absolute pleasure to have a natter with you about all things Spanish football. There's so much going on in the Spanish press. We haven't even begun to get below the surface of
no,
these
we
transfer
haven't,
rumors.
We couldn't even begin to get there, but it's been an absolute pleasure as usual. And I hope to speak to you guys really soon.
Hey, we'll try and get you on next week so we can get into a bit of the aging Spanish stars and the new blood that are going to be coming through over the next few seasons or so, and especially this season, a chance for some people to make a big impression in terms of the Spanish national team and, of course, in terms of attracting Barcelona and Real Madrid as well, Joseph. And we'll give you a shout if we can next week and get into that.
Sounds fantastic, Oliver. Good luck.
Thanks
Bye.
Very much, Joseph. Have a wonderful
Bye.
Time. Joseph Sexton there joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Spanish football.